I've had the distinct honor and privilege of worshiping here for 3 years. 3 years is a long time. I've been here longer than I've dated my wife. It's been a joy. It's been a great honor and a privilege to serve with you, to worship with you, to laugh and cry with you, and to enjoy this time with you. For the last month, we've been going through a journey through our sanctuary. We started out with John preaching on Jesus as the true vine. And our response is we're part of the branches of that. Then we walked over to the other side and we discovered that Jesus is the door and he's the doorway. And that he's also leading us through that doorway. He's our good shepherd. He is there to guide us, to lead us, and to protect us. And last week, we came back over to the other side of the sanctuary. We discovered Jesus as our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. We discovered that he is also the way and the truth and the life. Once again, we make a journey back to the other side of the sanctuary. Today, we're looking at the light of the world. Every day when I turn on the TV, if I happen to turn on the TV and turn on the news, most of the time, I have the feeling of turning it right back off. There doesn't seem to be anything good on the news. We hear about, you know, on the radio sometimes we hear cancer-a-thons. We hear people about, you know, getting better. They've, you know, been able to do something for kids and whatnot at Dornbecker's or something. And, you know, that's positive. They're moving in the right direction to help. But we hear people dying in Iraq. We hear people, sorry, AJ. We hear, you know, buses crash and car crashes. And I came to the conclusion, for myself, even though everybody else knew it, that this world is very dark. And the scripture we're going to look at this morning, since we've been spending a whole lot of time in John, we're going to look at some scripture, we're going to talk a little bit, go back and look, we're going to keep going in John, in the first chapter of John. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. And all things were made through Him. Nothing was made that has... Excuse me. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. A light shines in the darkness. But the darkness didn't understand it. Now, we flip over. I've got to pause for just a minute. See that black dot right there? Back there, that's my child. So, he's on stage with me this morning. So, all right. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When I was in sixth grade, I had the glorious opportunity to spend a week at outdoor school. If you don't know what outdoor school is, at least in Pendleton, where I'm from and where we're going back to, the last month and a half of school is reserved for sixth graders to go out and spend a week, 4 days, in cabins up in the mountains. And I don't remember if it was the second day or whatnot, some brilliant teacher decided that we were going to go on a night hike. This was, you know, different times of the year, nighttime is different times. Like, in the wintertime, nighttime is 5 o'clock because it's dark. In the summertime, it's 9:30 because it starts getting dark then. So we waited until it was dark. Now, it wasn't that we went hiking in the dark. It's that we went hiking without a particular piece of equipment. Now, this is a little overkill, but this would have been very handy. We went hiking, tripping over rocks and roots and stumps and just about everything we could think of to trip over. And finally, our brilliant leader decided, you know what, this probably isn't great, this idea. Let's turn around and go back. Two adults and 45 sixth graders. Spells for a little bit of disaster. We all made it back fine. No one got lost. No one got hurt. So it was good. But I was thinking about that. We were walking down a path without the aid of light. Now, as I turn on the news and I see this darkness that's crept over our world, come to the understanding that it didn't take my discovery for that darkness to be there. It took me discovering for myself that that was there. One thing I came to the realization is this world is going to hell. And we have the answer. Now, it's not in us to save the world. God does the saving. But what is in us is the light for people to look at. We discover that here. Jesus says, "You're the light of the world." He's talking to us. He says, "You are the light of the world." All the other banners are about Jesus. Why is that one about us? Well, it kind of is. But it mostly isn't. Who's the light? The light is Jesus. Okay. Well, how do we know that? Well, we turn back to John. It says, "In him was life." Last week we discovered Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In him was life, and that life was light to all men. So, Jesus is our light. In us, we are the light of the world. We are a beacon to this fallen world. We are a beacon to a world going to hell. We also see that a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Unfortunately, we try really hard sometimes, I think, to cover that light up. This flashlight happens to have an on-off button, so I can turn it off. Now, if I took that out, I'd have to take the batteries out. I think sometimes we try because we're afraid of what people will think. We're afraid of you know, whatever. We turn that light off. We don't allow Jesus to shine through us. Well, Rick, I'm just one person. You said the world is going to hell. How do I save the world? You don't. Shine your light. Okay, well, who do I shine it to? Do you have a job? I guarantee, I can think of at least one. I'm sure all of you can think of a handful of people that need to know Jesus. That doesn't necessarily mean you walk up to him, grab him by the shirt collar, sit him down, and say, "Guess what? I'm going to tell you about Jesus." That means you live as Christ. That means you live as Jesus would. You treat them as Jesus would. You let Jesus' light shine through you so that they see it. I have 4 days left at FedEx. I can honestly tell you I have short-timer syndrome so bad. It is taking every bit of me to get up in the morning. As I go to work, I have to be there. We start at 2 o'clock in the morning. It takes every bit of me. And my wife hasn't been here for a month, and I haven't told her this, but it has been like snooze, snooze, snooze. 1 o'clock rolls around. I have to be there at 1:30. It takes me 20 minutes to get there. Snooze. 1:09, get up, put my shoes on. Don't hit the snooze again, because... But it's taken every ounce of my energy, every ounce of me to get up and go to work, because I know I'm not going to be there much longer. But I get up and go to work anyway. Why? Because I need to set an example for people still there. I have two young men and a young lady from this church that work directly underneath me. Two of which I am not directly responsible for. Two of them I am. Okay. A running joke in my high school is, yeah, I'm a graduate of Pendleton High School. So, you know, my grammar's not that great, but two of them I am directly responsible for. So what example do I set to my Christian brothers if I check out early? What example do I set to the other management for their people if me as management checks out early? Do I set a good example for Christians, period? Do I let my light shine for Jesus if I check out early? No, I don't. So I get up and I go to work and I struggle through it and I long for Thursday, because that day is coming. But people... There's other influences. I showed you this child does not know Jesus. This child, when it's born, I have a pretty good idea that I'm going to look at it and the thought's going to go through my head, how is this thing born into sin? How is this little baby born into sin, but they don't know Jesus. So I have to let my light shine in my family. I have to let my wife see me at home like you see me up here. I have to live at home as I would in church. I have to let Jesus' light shine through me in the store. They shortchanged me the other day. It was a nickel. I think it's funny. I was mad. So, what do? I fly off the handle or forget about it? It's a nickel. Keep it. I'm sure the store needs it worse than I do. I was listening on the radio the other day. But a Christian artist who got mad in his car for somebody cutting him off. And his thought was, you know, I'm just going to get out and tell that guy off. A couple weeks later, and they like stood eye to eye at each other. He got a good look at him. Next, a little while later, he went to a convenience store and he threw his ATM or his credit card or whatever it was. And the guy read, oh, I know you. I love your records. Well, what kind of witness would that have been had he just blown up with somebody? We're under a microscope. The light that Jesus shines through us is going to give light to the rest of the world. Now, I pose this question. We get to walk around, and we get to at least see. Well, Rick, I still stumble, yeah? But at least you see what's in front of you. You've got a light. This is a flashlight. Jesus Christ is our light. Without him, we walk around in complete and total darkness. We don't see the rock, the root, the stump, the cliff to the river. With the light, we have hope that we'll at least be able to see where we're going. And we discovered a couple weeks ago that Jesus is our shepherd. We discovered that he leads us. A leader goes ahead of. Calls us sheep. There's a reason for that. Sheep are dumb. We are completely and totally lost without our shepherd. We are completely and totally blind without our light. If we don't have Jesus Christ in our lives, and we don't show people Jesus Christ in our lives, and they don't get to experience that light through us, how are they ever going to know? How are they ever going to know? I'm not saying that each and every one of us needs to go to Africa. I'm not saying that we need to go down to Southwest Portland. We have our own circle of influences where we need to let Jesus' light shine. And people need to see Christ in us, lived truly in us, so that we can put our light on a lampstand for everyone to see. You are the light of the world. You weren't lit to be stuck under a box a basket. But you were meant to be a beacon. You were meant to be a lighthouse. You were meant to show Christ to each other, to take Christ to the city, take Christ to the world. Be a light. Be a light in your family. Be a light in your workplace. Be a light driving down the road. That's why I don't have a Jesus fish on the back of my car. Be a light. We're going to do that at my Savior, my God song again.